This is an interview for Peak Magazine. We're joined with professional boxer Sam Best. We're here to talk about pro boxing, depression, and what the future holds for Sam. Jazzy B once said, "It took us a really long time to get going, but finally we're on our way. Let's get into it." Sam, thanks so much for coming down, pal. It's been this has been so long in the making. We've been chatting for a long time now, over I'd say the space of about 3-4 years, and we've been meaning to get you on the platform for ages. Well, you've already been on the platform like loads of times, but in recent years not so much. What's been happening?
First off, appreciate you having us on. Literally got to be back. Yeah, you're right. Been meaning to get on for far too long, to be fair. Problem is, man, I've probably decided I'm coming back and then leaving the game that many times. It just got out of hand. Perfect time to get us on board. You know, we're serious, we're on board, and we're on the right track now. Basically, you know, we're making the comeback now. We're like 6.5 stone down. We've still got a little bit to go, but we're getting there.
Brilliant. Sam, we do a little thing. I usually do a little thing right at the start of the podcast, and then I go, we've got a thing called On the Wall, where I ask you, as a young Sam Best, lying on his bed, looking at his wall, as a teenager, what was on your wall?
Oh man, it was like every 13-year-old. It's like, whoa. I had a picture of like Eminem, but he has, funny enough, like a grey jacket, and yeah, it's like unzipped. So it's probably not one that I like to brag about, but yeah, that's what I had, man. I had Eminem with like a bandana, like white bandana. I'm sure I had a white bandana and like a grey jacket zipped down. So
anybody else?
No, man, that was it. I got Roy Jones Jr. a little bit later on in life, right, but it was just the Eminem one, man.
All right, cool. The last time we actually spoke, Sam, was at Newcastle Racecourse.
Mm-hmm.
And, Newcastle Racecourse in Gosforth. And I don't know if you can remember, but I kind of caught you on the stairs, and you weren't in a great place. It was your first professional boxing defeat. And I seen you on the stairs, and I was like, you never lose, you learn. And I'm just wondering if you remember that night much, or have you blacked it out, or what have you taken from that night going forward?
I think for probably the first 3 years I tried to block it out. It was just a disappointing time in life. You know, I'm not making any excuses. I got beat. It is what it is. But there was a lot of things in the background that were happening around that point. I didn't want to box. I didn't like boxing. I didn't want to be there. I wasn't training. I wasn't in the right mindset. But yeah, and it took us nearly 4 years to accept the fact that I got beat, and it took us probably 4 years to accept that it's a lesson. It wasn't a failure, it's a lesson, and that's how I sort of try and take it on board now.
Yeah, you fought Christoph Golek, and I was there that night, obviously, but I was ringside taking some shots, and it's weird to say, but it just wasn't you in that ring.
I mean, listen, anyone who watched me career throughout my career, even sparring, knew that wasn't me. That was Sam Best at like 5%, if that. That was Sam Best, fat, fatigued, starved, sitting in saunas for 3 and 4 days to try and get the weight off. It was Sam Best not training properly, not training hard. I just didn't take the sport serious anymore, and I just sort of fell out in love with the sport and thought, well, my talent will drag us through fighting, you know, a journeyman. It's just a journeyman. I'll be all right. And once I've got a harder fight, I'll train a bit harder. And I overlooked someone. And it's embarrassing, but it's been a good lesson in life, because now I'll not overlook anything.
There's people out there that are probably wondering what happened post that fight, because you didn't box anymore. And I just want to know what the story was, what the narrative was post that fight.
Yeah, I don't think it's a case of one thing happening. I think it was a load of different things happening in life. You know, I was 22. A lot of things changed really quick in my life, and I really struggled to adapt into them changes in life. I just started a business. Anyone who starts a business will say, it'll be great when I work for myself, I have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And I think we both know that it's a total opposite. You don't have all the time in the world. I become very angry, and I pointed the finger at a lot of people, you know. I sort of thought it was his fault, or it was her fault, and it was their fault, and they weren't doing this. And in hindsight, it was my fault, and, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I accept it. But, yeah, I mean, the last two fights, you know, I took such a big break away from boxing, and when I tried to come back and I was fighting, it was just a joke. It was embarrassing. It wasn't me. I didn't feel like me. I didn't like doing interviews. I didn't like doing the press conferences. I literally hated myself at that point in my life. I shouldn't have been there. But again, it's just, I was very angry, and I sort of tried to take the anger and keep going with it, where it was just probably the wrong driving force that I needed.
So where do you feel this anger came from? Because it didn't seem present when we were first doing the interviews at the Jobs Gym. It seemed like full of beans, for want of a better word. Really eager to get in the ring, and you had a, you know, you had Tink, you had Matty Jobs, Jimmy Johnson. You had this unit around you. And it seemed like there was, like, unstoppable Sam's best, you know. So what do you think was the catalyst to this kind of nose dive?
Arrogance. Probably arrogance. I mean, we as a team come in as an outcast. You know, it was, you know, I'd never boxed amateur. I was unlicensed. I only had 20 unlicensed. And I went pro, and it was sort of like, oh, he hasn't been heard of. And I'm not saying people were laughing, but the sort of people weren't taking me serious to a point where they should have been. And I think 2 and 3, 4 fights in, it was quickly, you know, noted that I was actually, you know, really decent. I was up there with all of them who were fighting on at that level. You know, Steve Cooper, he come from the same background as me, you know, and we'll probably put on the best fight of that show that night. You know, massive respect to Steve. I hope he's well, as far as shout outs go. But we did it, and, you know, I know he was sort of from the same background, and we're sort of, you know, a little bit outcast in that sense. And then I'd felt like I'd paid me dues at this point, and I thought it would have took off a lot quicker. I thought money would have caught coming in. I didn't realise ticket sales were as heavy and as much as a burden. And I think it's a transition in life that everyone goes through. You know, I think it's becoming like a boy and a man, and you sort of take on the real world struggles. And me personally really, really struggled with it. And I started pointing fingers at people, and then I started thinking, well, I'm winning, I'm knocking people out, and, you know, first round knockouts, I've got the power, it's there if I need it, and it didn't work in the end.
When people talk about depression, it can, like, go over, like, lots of different areas of mental health. Has depression always been with you, or did it suddenly come, and has it, like, has it been something you've always had to deal with, or did you feel, when you were training in the boxing, and then what you've just said there with the you expected things to come a lot quicker, did the depression kick in then, or has it always been there?
So it's hard. I don't think I've always had depression, and I don't know if I had. You know, you're right. There's loads of different forms of depression. I've got more of an obsessive personality. Anyone who knows us and knows us personally will tell you the same thing. If I go paintballing and I enjoy it, I'll want to be a professional paintballer. It's the extreme that I go. Everything I do, if I like it and I enjoy it and I get a buzz from it, I get, you know, attached to it. This is literally why I've never took a drug, because I just knew I would be, like, totally addicted to it.
Yeah.
But I've got that obsessive personality where I just get gripped onto something. And for some reason, somewhere down the line, I kind of identified the exact time I sort of started obsessing on self-doubt, and I started hating myself and getting depressed. And I could put a smile on for everyone, you know. I mean, Matty, Jimmy and Tink were none of the wiser, in all fairness, because I was smiling and they were like, have you done your own? I'm like, yeah, and yeah, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling great, when, in all honesty, I didn't. I couldn't even look in the mirror at one point because I just hated myself that much. And I don't think it's a form of, I've always been depressed. I've always had an obsessive personality. And I think my obsessive personality latched on to the depression side of it.
Right, yeah, of course. You mentioned dark places, dark thoughts. Do you want to share any of those dark places?
I feel like it should be done after nine if this is the case. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm any different than anyone else. You know, we're all humans, we've all got with trials and tribulations, and we've all been through hard times one way or another. I've been in some of the darkest places in my life. I mean, just last year, you know, I was probably in the darkest place of my entire life. And this was just a year ago. You know, I've had, you know, the bad thoughts and stuff like that, and I've had good people around us pull us out. Now, where I'm in such a good mind space, I believe in mental health massively. You know, I'm not excusing mental health in the slightest, but I believe you can have an effect on your mental health with who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with bad people and negative people in that kind of energy, then that's what becomes of you. And sometimes, you know, they probably want the best for you. So, for example, and I'm not saying this happened to me, your mom could say, don't do it, it's too risky. That there could put self-doubt on someone, where she just wants the best for you because she's trying to look after you, but it's holding you back. You need to be around good, positive, you know, driven people, and I surround myself with nothing but strong, driven people now.
Yeah, it's kind of a positive affirmations. If you keep the positive affirmations in your head, like, it's going to be a good day today. And, like, if you get a bit of bad news, you always think of the positive, whereas a lot of people would instantly think of the negative, like, oh, look, this has happened now, so I can't do this and I can't do that, and it has, like, a knock-on effect.
Yeah, literally. And I mean, I've lived this just, like, 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, this comeback started off great. It was great. We were flying. Weight was dropping off, and then we hit a sort of a sideways stale where we were staying the same. The weight wasn't dropping. I was, like, getting a little bit fitter, but... And then, you know, a little bit of stress, and it was like, oh, I'm stressed, yeah, I just have a Chinese, and oh, this has happened today, I'm just not training. I got in that mindset of using a negative thing to be able to take me foot off the pedal, which, again, isn't me, so I had to, you know, I had to regroup and rejoice and realise where I was going to go forward.
Could you talk to us about how you do regroup, and what's your thought process for someone else who's watching this, who, you know, could be in a similar boat? Have you got, like, any advice for someone who does feel the negative thoughts, and what did you come to maybe to overcome and to keep overcoming?
Yeah, I got a Stephanie, man. I mean, Steph has literally, you know, pulled me out of the darkest place of my life.
Right.
Hats off to Steph in that sense. But again, surround yourself with good people. I mean, I told you before, you know, we hit a sort of sideways, you know, slump where it was like, I wasn't really going to the gym and I was training a little bit. And I don't know, you've got to be humble and you've got to accept responsibility. So Tink ran me up and says, look at what you're doing. Are you doing it seriously? If not, just stop. But, you know, if you're going to do it, then do it. There's no, like, in between. What one do you want? And it was humbling, and I didn't want to hear it, and I got upset. You know, it was hard to hear. He didn't tell us to quit, but he was saying, if you're not going to do it, just quit, just stop. Mm-hmm. Train just to enjoy it. You've got to have good, humble, strong-minded people around you that are willing to keep your feet on the ground. You know, one of my biggest negative factors that I've got is in the gym, I still believe I'm still 12 and a half stone Sam Best. And I believe I still demand that respect, and I demand to still be, and I still think I'm that good. When in hindsight, I'm not. I'm like, you know, I'm like 17, 18 stone, like massively fat, struggle to skip. I kind of dance around like I can, and I've got to accept that I am not the top boxer in that gym anymore, and I'm not. You know that the you've got this four or five different pros that are brilliant. You know, they train hard 3 times a day, everything, and you know that they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably being more humble and having accountability. Accountability is probably the most important thing you can do. And write it down, man. I write it down every Monday. Every Sunday, I write down what I'm going to do for the week, and I do it. Mm-hmm. It's that little tick that gives you that little shot of dopamine where it's like, yeah, I've done it.
Yeah.
And you know, you do 1, 2, 3, and when you start it on a Sunday, it looks impossible. And by the time you get to Sunday, you're like, I could have added more things on.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was 2016 when we came down the gym. We done at Sam's Best, the King's Army.
Yeah, man, the interview, the documentary. I mean, it was brilliant.
Absolutely loved doing it. I think that for anyone who's watching this, if they want to see that, it's Sam Best, the King's Army, I believe, on the Peep channel. And I think at that time you were probably one of the hottest prospects in the Northeast as a boxer.
Yeah.
And then I'm just trying to think, fast forward to Newcastle Racecourse. I'm just wanting to know, what was the biggest challenge that you've faced in between those times, from high flying to walking down those stairs, Newcastle Racecourse?
Probably a switch in life. You know, I'd had my little boy Owen. You know, me and his mum started the business at the time, and you know, family was just more important to me than what boxing was. And instead of, again, taking accountability, I was finishing work and saying, I've worked hard today, I probably don't need a train. And instead of doing that, that's what I was doing. And instead of coming back and saying, right, I've worked hard, but it's time to get to work. And again, you know, I could have pointed my fingers at loads of different people, and I could have blamed, you know, I could have blamed everyone from, you know, the fans, friends, family. I could have blamed everyone, but in hindsight, it was my fault. And then I started just grabbing on a little bit of anger and using excuses. And now I literally don't have an excuse. If I don't do something, I haven't got an excuse for it.
Sam, we're gonna break it up a bit. I'm gonna pull a couple of things out. I'm gonna say a few quotes about boxers, or what other people have said about boxers, and I'm wondering if you're gonna be able to name either who they're talking about or the actual boxer.
Right, but just for the record, then, because in my defence, I don't actually like boxing. I don't watch it, and I don't follow it, and I don't follow any sports. So in my defence, if I get them really wrong, that's why. Well, I enjoy doing boxing, yeah, and I enjoy making history. I don't enjoy watching it. So in my defence, if I get them wrong, this is why.
Oh,
I'm not very educated when it comes to this.
That's absolutely fine, mate. Absolutely no pressure on you at all. You nearly looked at the answers there, didn't you?
I do, yeah.
He said some words in Spanish, and I just knew those words came from the gutter. Who is the journalist referring to? I'm going to give you a few clues. Heavyweight, American, big in mid-90s.
Bruh. He spoke Spanish?
Yes, he said a few words in Spanish, but he's not Spanish.
Oh, he's not Spanish.
No. And the female journalist, so that could be another clue. The female journalist said, I just knew those words came from the gutter.
Lennox Lewis. It's probably the only heavyweight I know.
if that
era.
Close, you're close.
Who was it?
Mike Tyson.
Oh, I thought you said he was from the UK.
No, from... did I say from
the UK? I thought you said UK, man. You might not have. I thought you did.
We're going to go back a few years. And then a boxer said, sure, the fight was fixed. I fixed it with the right hand.
Got to be Muhammad Ali, man.
Close.
How was it?
George Foreman.
Foreman. Terrible.
You might get this one, a more recent boxer, but, well, very recent in the media. He's been retired for a few years, so that's a clue there. I fight for the Czech. I'm in the Czech cashing business.
Mayweather?
Yes!
Yeah. Mayweather's about that money, man. Maybe he had money, Mayweather said it.
I'll just a couple more. I don't want to bore you, but I think it's quite fun, you know. But we're going back to the '80s.
Born?
I know. Mid '80s. A champion from the UK, I believe. Middleweight. He famously said, "I did not expect to lose this title to a black man."
That what he said?
That's what he reportedly has said.
You can't say that. Oh, man.
Who do you think could have said that? From London, maybe 83, 84. Bear in mind you weren't born then.
I didn't even know any boxers from that time, man.
I'm sorry, mate.
You're going too far back, man.
Alan Minter.
I don't even know who that is.
All right.
Sorry,
I'm
Alan.
Sure, there's a lot of people out there know who Alan Minter is. Right, mate, I'm just going to give you one last one. It's one of my favourite boxers from a bygone age. He was one of the first, well, I think he was the first to achieve something in boxing. Heavyweight. I made a lot of mistakes out of the ring, but I never made any in.
Tyson Fury?
No, I'm afraid not. No. It was Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson. I shouldn't have that, man. I boxed with someone called Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson. I've got a few more, but maybe that's for another podcast.
A more educated boxer.
When we done the documentary in the Jobs Gym, you famously said, "Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard."
Yep.
Have you still got that? That drive and determination going forward for 2021 to 22.
Oh, yeah, definitely. More now so than ever, because I've been on the opposite side of it. You know, I got beat thinking my talent would carry us, and it didn't. And as far as talent go, I am talented. I'm quite a talented boxer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slick. I can move, you know, I'm very slick for like a light heavyweight / cruiserweight. You know, I've got the head movement. I literally dance from like a middleweight. And, I landed on the talent. I thought my talent would drag it through, and it just didn't. I got beat off someone that was just dead basic and dead. There was absolutely nothing to it. The punches didn't hurt. There was nothing like that. I was never hurt. But he just, you know, he just outworked us. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. Are you still involved with the Jobs Gym, Matt Tink and Jimmy?
Yeah, so when I decided to make this comeback, I went and seen them, and I told them, and they basically told us to F off because I've done this about 80 times. But,
right.
You know, it's, you know, I'm one of these persons that, you know, I latch on to the people around us, and I couldn't possibly go back if it wasn't with them. I mean, Tink was sort of out of the game altogether, and I begged him to literally say, "Look, if I do it, will you get your license again?" And he promised it as he would. I respect, you know, every coach and, you know, every fighter, but I quite simply wouldn't have made the comeback if they weren't going to do it with us. I started with them, and that's how we'll end. I'll never ever change coaches.
So we'll want to bring this interview up to date now, and you've had a couple of new ventures. Real Roofing, could you talk about that a bit, please?
Yeah, so, you know, again, I'm going to go back to people who know us personally. You know, I love business. I love the whole entrepreneurship sort of thing. You know, I'm always jumping from pillar to post. Where am I going next? But yeah, the new company's called Real Roofing, and it started, there's two directors, there's me and there's Mark. And Mark trained me as an apprentice. And I mean, Mark, a little bit like Tink, Jimmy, Matt, has been, you know, that they've been idols to us growing up. You know, I was really close to Mark. You know, we had a good working relationship for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we decided to sort of go together because what I lacked, he had, and what he lacked, I had. But I love business. I love the entrepreneurship. I love the drive. I get up at like 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning writing down a new idea that I've got. I've got a new website that's going to be launching soon. That I've invested 20 grand into. And that's to help boxers and up and coming actors and you know up and coming superstars or up and coming, you know, like professionals.
Oh, right.
To help get them off the ground. So I'm really excited about that. But we're just, you know, we're just trying to get a couple of loose ends tied up and exactly get the right amount to be invested into it.
I mean, that sounds great. Is the real roofing, basically, you do what it says on the tin, you do roofs.
Yeah.
Do you do other aspects of houses or buildings or?
Yeah, so Roofing is a commercial and domestic roofing company. We do everything from a slate repair to an industrial massive flat roof or a pitched roof, and everything in between. You know, we've got 4 members of staff on at the moment with 2 subcontractors, and it's just going strength to strength so quick. Mm-hmm. It's moving, you know, at such a fast rate at the minute. It's fantastic, and it's what we want. Obviously, I've been around business now for like 5 years, so I've built the contacts, and I've got a lot of friends in a lot of different places, and you know, I do a lot of networking. I'm constantly networking. I actually run a networking meeting at the moment, which is great. That started my first business and basically flowered it.
Wow. I mean, as you were saying something off camera about you maybe want to get into inspirational talking and talking to large crowds and what's the word I'm looking for?
Motivational.
Yeah, and inspirational. Getting large crowds and trying to teach people how to kind of better themselves. Is that something that you still want to?
Oh yeah, yeah, massively. I mean, I've wanted to do this since I've been a kid. A lot of people have different outlets of how they escape and how they motivate and what they like. A lot of people listen to music. You know, a lot of people work out. There's a lot of different outlets. Me personally, I always find the most comfort at listening to motivational speakers. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk, Simon Sinek. The list could go on. Les Brown. There's absolutely loads. Eric Thomas.
Tony Robbins,
yeah.
Tony Robbins, brilliant.
I just love it, and I feel like there's so much wisdom goes into actually what they say. It's just amazing. And yeah, it's one of the most important things that I've always said in life, before I die and I leave this earth, I want to leave, you know, a legacy, and I want to try and inspire people. You know, I come from absolutely nothing. We come from the worst of the worst, me and my little brother. And I mean, he's in university.
Oh, really?
He's getting scholarships. He got a scholarship into a private school because he's that intelligent.
Wow.
And now he's in Leeds University. I'm super proud. And obviously, I failed through school. I haven't got a GCSE, and I run 3 businesses.
Uh-huh.
I just want to show that everyone can do it with the right guidance and the right people around them and the right drive.
Yeah.
You know, again, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard.
Yeah.
I've got people who have got straight A's who work for me, uh-huh, in our field.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy, but yeah, I love to inspire, and I love being a good leader. Probably more than anything else, I love leadership. I love motivating everyone and being a good leader and just being a good person. And it's just morals that I've had since I've been a kid.
Oh wow, sounds brilliant! Big shout out to Sam's little bro. The last time I seen him was at Job's gym when he was I think he was trying to get into boxing, or he was thinking about.
Yeah, I think he was trying to sort of do the same thing I'd done.
Yeah.
And I think we had a conversation where I was like, boxing's just, you're not a boxer, man. You're too smart.
Right.
But Kai's bigger than me. It's nuts. He's like really? 6'4".
Really?
Yeah, he loves his basketball, loves his rugby, man. Again, super, super proud.
Oh, mate, I wish him the best. I do. Yeah, so I'm going to give away, courtesy of Star Pro Sports, I'm giving away a couple of boxing gloves, headgear, pads, hand wraps, and hand gels. Basically, I'm going to give away Star Pro 33 headgear. I'm going to give away that. And then I'm giving away these hand wraps and these Star Pro gel mitts, I believe they're called. I'm going to give them away. I'm going to C20 Star Pro boxing gloves. Still in the packaging. And I'm giving away Star Pro T20 hand pads. I mean, this is going to be great for anyone getting into boxing or training or whatever they want to do with it. But I'm looking for 7,000 subs. Once I get that 7,000, I'm going to randomly pick a subscriber. And I just hope that you're into boxing or you know someone who's into the fight game. And I'm going to just give all these away to the lucky person who subscribes to the channel. So I'm giving all that away, this 5-pack. Thanks a lot.
It's a good head guard, man.
Is it?
Aye.
So I'm going to give all that stuff away. So 7,000 subs, so get subscribing and then them can be yours easy. Sam, what are your thoughts on the state of boxing now, today? So from like the Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul, like what's your views on that? You think it's good for boxing or you think it's bad for boxing?
It depends how you look at it, isn't it? There's two sides to a story. In all fairness, it's probably going to bring more viewers to boxing, which is great. At the same time, it's embarrassing for the likes of Floyd, who's, you know, arguably one of the greatest of all times, mm-hmm. to be getting in with someone that does YouTube videos, who's had one. But how they even get professional licenses is beyond me. The hoops I had to jump through was ridiculous.
Yeah, I've always wanted to ask someone in the game.
Yeah,
you know?
It's embarrassing. I mean, listen, that they both got paid a lot of money, but I think it was Tony Bellew. I was watching him on a podcast, and he says it's great till someone gets hurt, and eventually someone will get hurt. Don't get us wrong. Him and his brother, you know, they're at the standard where, yeah, they maybe can be pros. They train hard. They're in good physique. But they're just not paying homage. They're not playing the game. I mean, they're calling out, you know, it's just ridiculous. UFC fighters to fight boxing. And
Tyrone Woodley.
Yeah, it's stupid. You want to do boxing, fair play, go and do boxing. Yeah. Fight a boxer.
Yeah.
Do what everyone else does. Fight a couple of journeymen. There's journeymen out there that would slap the two of them silly.
Yeah.
They're just not showing any respect towards the sport, and I think that's what's getting to all the boxers. I mean, me personally, you know, you pay homage, you know, you just do your show respect.
Yes.
You don't call fucking Floyd Mayweather out, man.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's made like £20 million. I get in the ring with two of them for the same night for £20 million.
Oh, of course.
And it you know, I give my life up for boxing at one point in my life and never made a penny. Yeah. And I was in it for like 2-3 years and I literally give my life up. And, you know, yeah, I was at the tipping point. I probably would have talked off. In fact, you know, I was getting up there where eventually we would have started fighting for titles. And, you know, we were working up to that point. But then you've got someone who makes YouTube videos who's just made $20 million by getting a boxing fight. It just makes you think, what's the point?
Yeah, of course. Because I honestly thought that Floyd would say, like, I'm interested, but Why don't you go out and fight like 10 guys, like, and they gradually get harder and harder and harder? Because when you're at the top of the tree, you're not going to fight someone, as you well know. When you turn pro, it's like an amateur coming up and saying like, "Oh, like I want a pro fight," but I'm in. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
with Floyd's
exactly.
Like the top of his game.
It's
and he just jumps in the ring with someone.
Fights. Yeah, I mean, Floyd says, listen, it's for money. He blatantly said, he says, me kids aren't going to eat me legacy. Fair play. Floyd's took more than enough money out of the game, and he hasn't, if he hasn't got any, I mean, Floyd has, he's a smart man. Put boxing aside, I've followed him on a business sense, and he's not stupid. Floyd has got money, he's got residual income coming in everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to be clever. Go and jump in with someone like Canelo, who will just not tolerate it.
Yeah.
Canelo would just, I mean, Floyd kept him up for 8 rounds. He literally put on the show because it was good and it looked good, and they can do another rematch and they can make another £100 million each or whatever. Where you get
entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But you get boxers, Tyson Fury, even Deontay Wilder, you get, you know, Canelos, Billy Joe Saunders, you get people like that that are just boxing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bothered about the money. Yeah, everyone wants paid and we're all in it to be paid eventually, but we wouldn't let someone disrespect one like that. And I just feel like Floyd's just tarnishing his whole legacy. Like,
yes.
Yeah, go and do an exhibition fight, have a bit of fun. That's great. But, you know, the way the whole thing was just put together, it's embarrassing for me.
Yeah, of course. Can I ask what your thoughts are with the trilogy fight with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Tyson Fury now, and I'll be dead honest with you, I wasn't at one point.
Right.
But Tyson Fury played a massive part in motivating me for what he accomplished.
Yeah, of course.
Basically, you know, I'm not saying I went through exactly the same thing. He would have had different demons to me, but we're sort of done the same thing. I got to a point in my life where I thought I couldn't come back, and I seen him do it, and I'm like, actually, it's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Massive, massive respect to him in that sense.
Been an inspiration to a lot of people.
Oh, definitely. I didn't like him at first. I thought he was a bit too corny. But the more I watch him, the more I think he's just dead real. I think you'll just school Deontay Wilder again.
Right.
He's too intelligent. He's literally the equivalent of like a Floyd Mayweather heavyweight. He's too smart. Everyone thinks Tyson Fury is stupid. He's not.
No.
He's absolutely, you know, phenomenal when it comes to the nitty gritty stuff in boxing.
Uh-huh.
You'll take what you've got at and he'll take it away from you.
I mean, he's an expert of the history as well. He's an expert on like every fighter, every weight.
Oh yeah, exactly.
He knows it all.
Yeah, he just knows how to get into people's head too. He's so mind strong. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shame we don't see him in AJ. We will eventually.
You think we'll see it?
Probably. And I think my money's on Tyson Fury, if I'm being honest with you.
Right.
I think he's just unstoppable at the moment.
Right.
But I would have liked to see an AJ to oppose a Wilder, but fair play, Wilder probably deserves the trilogy fight. I just don't like the way Wilder handled the defeat. If you get beat, just put your hands up and say you got beat.
Just, do you think it was the costume?
Nah,
the costume,
man. You just got beat.
Don't wear a costume to the ring.
You just got, listen, boxers go on 10-mile runs, you know, with a workout for 2 hours. Wearing something on your body to walk to the ring wouldn't affected you. Not in the slightest.
Yeah, mate, of course. So, you know, we talked about getting back into the game, back into boxing. Is there anything lined up fight-wise?
Nothing yet. So, again, you know, I said early on in the interview that we hit a sort of sideways stroke, which was disappointing. But nothing as of yet. I've applied for my license, so I just need to get back to the boxing board and explain what I've been doing for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing yet. I'm hoping, you know, maybe, I don't know, January, March time next year. Probably, I think that's when. I don't want to go in too early. We're still undecided if we're going to go down to light heavyweight, if we're going to go cruiserweight. You know, I mean, I was 24 stone at one point in my life, so I'm losing, you know, a lot of weight in general now, and I'm not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably anywhere December, March time, I would probably say at this point.
Right. Okay. Do you want to give your sponsors a big shout out, or is there anyone you want to shout out, Sam?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first of all, I'd probably like to give an apology to Tink, Matty, and Jimmy. To be fair, for the embarrassment that I put on with at that point in the time. So at that point, I'm sorry, and I promise I'll make up for it in that sense going forward. Massive shout out to Peter down at Marley Gym. You know, he's doing a lot of one-to-one strength and conditioning with us at the moment. It's absolutely fantastic work. Really, really pushes us to my limit. And James Palmer. Jim from New Life Thinking, I do apologise. He helped me get through, you know, some really, really dark times in my life. Anyone struggling, you know, please, you know, reach out to me. I'm more than happy to take a phone call and just sit and chat. That there's always a bright idea, and Jim, you know, sort of taught me that, and he literally trained us to rethink the way I see life, and it's worked.
And how does anyone get in touch with Sam best?
You just message me on Facebook, you know. I accept all friend requests and stuff like that, in case you're, you know, fans of the sport and stuff like that. I always have. Just drop me a message if you ever want to just have a chat. I'm more than happy to give me phone number to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ring me anytime you want. I'm more than happy just to sit and talk about your problems. I've found, you know, just speaking about it just helps, you mm-hmm. know. Like, listen, we're human, doesn't matter if you're man or woman. I don't like all this man speak up stuff, women speak up. I don't like all that. Everyone's just the same. Mm-hmm. If you've got a problem, just reach out, and that it's better to talk about it.
Sam, thanks for coming down. It's been really great chatting to you, and I'm going to follow your career as I always have the last 5 years.
We need part two of the documentary, man. That needs to be the next thing. Part two.
Yeah, mate. Anytime, the door's always open.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, Cliff. I really do.
Cheers, Paul. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, mate.